yes, yes. A good Monday morning to one and all. Mark Malusis and Andrew Bogish with you right here on CBS Sports Radio as we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. You've got Shep and Bilotti across the way and Andrew Bogish sitting in with me for the next 3 hours. For the next couple days, we'll spend Christmas Eve together as well, Bogish. How you doing, buddy?
Nothing says Merry Christmas like Moose and Bogish and Shep here on CBS Sports
Radio. That's exactly right. I miss the Shep emails. I get his NBA emails basically on a nightly basis. He used to produce the Saturday morning show. He's basically, Maggie Gray and myself on Saturday mornings had about 7 different people produce our show over the course of the years. Either people moved on to bigger and better things at CBS Sports Radio.
Or you broke them.
Or they moved on and did something else with their life.
And I'm out.
Right.
Thanks,
exactly
radio.
Right. Exactly
I'm going
right.
to go fold sweaters at the Gap.
Right. And Shep at one point in time left to teach in Tennessee.
That's right. All but of a sudden, back.
Right, then he's back in the fold. One day he walks in, he's like, I gave my 2-week notice. I'm like, that's great. Where are you going? He goes, I'm going to teach in Tennessee. Yeah.
I'm going to help Tennessee. The youth of Memphis.
That is unbelievable. That is great. And then basically a couple of years later, I walk in to the CBS Sports Radio newsroom, and there's Shep cutting tape at like midnight.
Yep.
I'm like, what the hell are you doing here?
Yep.
I'm back.
Yep. Radio broke Shep, and then the youth of Memphis unbroke Shep and made him realize just how great radio is, and here he is again.
How you doing, man? How was your weekend, all right?
The weekend was okay. I mean, I actually had an empty house yesterday. So
that's nice.
I had the full football experience going on. It was uninterrupted. I had multiple screens going. I could watch whatever games I wanted, where I wanted to watch them in my house. I ordered lunch. It was quiet. There was no read me this or help me turn on the switch, Dad, or where's my iPad?
Where was everybody?
My wife and my kids were in Boston visiting her college friends. They went on some kind of like Christmas caroling hot cocoa ferry boat around Boston.
Oh my God, that's like a holiday for you.
So they got up yesterday morning. They drove to Boston. They're going to get up and come back home today. I had a nice... The only bad thing was I had to come to work today because I had to, I had to go to sleep last night. I could have watched something I wanted to watch. I got all these movies now from our union to
vote on the SAG-AFTRA Awards. That's correct, yes.
So I couldn't pop on Joker last night uninterrupted. I had to watch Chiefs Bears.
Well, there was not much to watch there.
No. So at halftime,
you could conceivably have watched the Joker. You could have conceivably watched Joaquin Phoenix as the Joker.
Yeah, I was wide awake at halftime when it was 17-0. I'm like, I don't want to go to bed right now, but I don't think I can do anything of significance and only get like 2 hours of sleep pre-moose. So I did go to bed.
Well, I'm glad you got some sleep. And now I know why you look like you're fresh as a daisy this morning. I mean, now I know the kids were away and the kids are up in Beantown with your wife. So there was none of the honey to-do list on a Sunday. You got to sit back, relax in your underwear, and watch a little football on a Sunday.
I was fully clothed.
Oh, there you go.
I will say that. Now, which former Giant were you with yesterday?
I was with a couple former Giants.
Multiple.
I was with David Deal. I did my Sunday morning show with Deal on WFAN locally in New York, and then an appearance with Sean Landetta. Yesterday afternoon. So we watched a little Giant Skins and Jets and then had a shoot over to FanDuel. And then I did Bruce Beck last night. Yesterday was an action-packed day.
I saw you with Bruce Beck, one of the best guys in the business.
No doubt. Love
local
Bruce.
TV guy here in New York for forever on the NBC affiliate. I was at a holiday party on Saturday in the neighborhood, and there was a guy we were talking about this, the unbelievable explosion of betting and how we all want to make this trip to Jersey and spend a football Sunday or an NCAA tournament day, one of these things. But the guy kept calling it FanDuel. Like it was like, and he was Italian. It was almost like he was saying like Gabagool. He was going like, they had this group that says FanDuel. I'm like, it's FanDuel.
It's FanDuel. It's not like, FanDuel.
FanDuel did so well. I'm like, they did what? But then I was thinking, and I'm like, well, I should just ask Moose if maybe I've been mispronouncing this.
No,
for
you're
a long
pronouncing
time.
It correctly.
Okay, good.
Your pronunciations, you do all it for right. a living. You're on point. It's
Thank
FanDuel.
You.
It's not FanDuel.
So you go to the FanDuel. And I'm like,
we should make a little trip. We should really do a little morning show trip over to FanDuel during the course of the postseason. Season, maybe on a Sunday.
Because apparently they do it well. You can bet. You can eat all at FanDuel.
Yeah.
So
it was it was a good football day yesterday. It was. It was an interesting day. There's a lot to get into when you look at, week 16 of the NFL. We got one game left to go. Vikings and Packers later on tonight. which is the Monday night affair, and there were some highs and some lows yesterday. Let's start with the lows, because that's really what we do on radio, is we like to emphasize
not
the negative.
Compliment you.
Right. We like to emphasize the negative and not the positive. But let's start with the negative. Number one is, how about the Dallas Cowboys? In Philly, 4:25 kick yesterday afternoon. We know what's on the line. They win. They're winning the NFC East. They lose. Then all of a sudden, they're not eliminated from winning their division. However, they would need to beat the Washington Redskins in Week 17, and the Eagles then would have to lose to the Giants at MetLife Stadium next week, right? So that is now on the table after the Dallas Cowboys sprained AC joint and all in the throwing shoulder for Dak Prescott, fall to the Philadelphia Eagles and really lay an absolute egg. I mean, how many drop passes do you need to see over the course of that game? How many times do you need to see Dak Prescott either underthrowing and overthrowing? And I understand he's playing with a little bit of a shoulder sprain. I get that. And he gutted his way through. This is an Eagle team the previous week whose defense got lit up by the Washington Redskins. This is an Eagles defense that was down 17-3 at home at the half to Eli Manning and the New York Giants before they rallied in half number two. And this is a Cowboy team that failed to find the end zone once yesterday afternoon in a 17-9 loss to the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, you want to talk about disappointment, Bogish. I mean, the Dallas Cowboys this year, and listen, who knows? Maybe a week from now, we're talking about the Dallas Cowboys being in the postseason, and they're able to get the win, and the Eagles end up losing. However, right now, you're sitting here on this Monday morning after what we witnessed yesterday. They're one of the more talented, more disappointing teams in all of 2019.
I mean, and really through the entirety of the Jason Garrett era, which is why that has to end no matter what happens next weekend. That can't save, shy of some remarkable run through the Super Bowl to be champs, and then obviously you couldn't do anything about it. But anything other than that, this has to end at some point with Jason Garrett not being their head coach anymore. Because this just can't happen again. They are better than what they're... Are they a 14-2 team? No, but they're not a 7-8 team either. And a game yesterday in Philly, all the things you laid out, plus all of the injuries that the Eagles have. I mean, who was Carson Wentz throwing the football to yesterday?
Oh, Greg Ward?
Right, then plus
Dallas Goedert?
And Ertz misses time.
With that rib injury?
So, and somehow they can't score a touchdown. Zeke Elliott had run for, I think it's 115 over the last couple of games of Philadelphia. Nothing but success against them, and then nothing yesterday.
47
yards total. I mean, it's just a joke to take nothing away from what the Eagles did. I don't know if Troy Aikman is right and that was one of the greatest team wins he's ever seen based on all the things working against them, but it's a game they shouldn't have won, and they won it. And the Cowboys, you know, deserve to sit on the tarmac last night in the airport and sweat out some plane issues before going home.
Well, it's amazing the fact that their airplane has mechanical issues.
Right.
I mean, the fact that they can't leave and that their airplane, their team plane, is unfit to fly.
Yeah, not viable.
Not viable.
I mean,
that's
was it made
right
of
word.
Cardboard? What
yeah,
was
exactly
I've
right.
I've never seen
that
a sentence like that
there
before.
There was multiple mechanical issues with the Dallas Cowboys plane as they were trying to get back to Dallas last night following their loss in Philadelphia. But everything you ran through, I mean, but think about this, though. It's amazing, and I know the NFL is week to week, and we say that often, and it gets hammered home, right? It's a week to week league. You never know what's going to happen, upsets and everything like that. This is a Dallas Cowboy team. The week previous had a tour de force performance against the Los Angeles Rams. They basically took the Rams' soul. I mean, they beat them offensively, defensively. Goff looked completely lost. They destroyed the Rams, destroyed them. Now they go on the road against an Eagle team that you should be able to... I mean, I'm not telling you that the Dallas Cowboys are that much more talented. Listen, Peterson's a better coach than Jason Garrett. But seriously, offensively, the fact that they're not able to find the end zone once yesterday afternoon in Philadelphia, I mean, that is almost criminal, given the fact that... And Schwartz is a good defensive coordinator, I get that. But what Philadelphia is presenting defensively, especially in that secondary... They're having guys go down to injury, leave the game, go back to the locker room, come back on the field, you know, and play. And the Dallas Cowboys, one empty drive after another.
Yeah, and there's just something missing. There's no spunk. There's no energy. I don't know. It's just maybe I'm too down on Jason Garrett and I'm missing some things, but they just seem lifeless at times. Like and the inconsistency to me goes back to him. Right, once the game starts. It does come down to just the players making plays. not missing assignments, not missing tackles, making a catch, hitting the right hole. But, like, the coach is in charge of having you all geared in together, all locked in, and these guys do need kicks in the butt sometimes. I know it's easy to say, like, you know, they're playing a game for a living. How can you not get up for a game like this? But you still do need help sometimes being put in the right place to have success. And from week to week, you know, the Ram game you just mentioned, the week before that, they got smacked in the face at home on Thanksgiving by the Bills. And then this happened again yesterday. And that up and down, ebb and flow, is about the tone that he sets or doesn't set from the top of the organization.
Right, and they lose 17-9. Elliott misses a couple field goals. I know there were long field goals, but misses a couple field goals. And let's also not forget that the Philadelphia Eagles failed on a fourth and short at the Cowboys' 31-yard line in the first half in a drive in which they, at the very least. So you look at that and say, well, it was only an 8-point game at the end. Well, but the Philadelphia Eagles were marching the football up and down the field on that Cowboys defense. And you're right about that, lighting a fire underneath the team. You're right in terms of the inspiration. But also, Bogish, putting a team in the best possible position to be successful. I mean, I look at all the guys and the brains that they have on that Cowboys staff, and you know, you've got to come to with a better game plan than they came up with yesterday against that Eagles defense. I mean, I know Prescott's a little banged up. I get it. I understand it. He was still able to gut his way through it. Some of his throws were errant or over-the-top throws that he's got to hit as an NFL quarterback. The drops did the Dallas Cowboys in as well. But I also don't look at that that coaching staff for the Dallas Cowboys and say, you know what? They're putting each and every week, they're putting that team in the best possible position to be successful.
No, and you know what? And what the Eagles did was they sold out defensively to make sure Elliott didn't beat them and see if Dak could, and he couldn't with the arm. But the reverse didn't happen. I mean, Wentz throwing to, you know, two good tight ends in Ertz and Goddard and a bunch of no-name receivers, you know, they should have sold out to defend the run. And Miles Sanders had a good game, too, for the Eagles yesterday, too. So it's just not right in Dallas. They still may find a way to back in. I mean, I can't see the Eagles losing at the Giants on Sunday, which to me means the Eagles are going to get in and win the division. But Dallas may still get there, but that doesn't solve anything. And they'll make a coaching change, and they should. But then we get to the other point where they still have ownership and Jerry Jones still messing things up, I would assume, from above the new head coach. But that's a conversation for a different day.
No,
it's got to start with no more Garrett.
No, and I agree with you. I think Garrett's going to go. I mean, and maybe we'll see exactly where they go. Maybe it's Lincoln Riley. Maybe it's Urban Meyer. Maybe it's another assistant out there. Maybe it's a former coach.
Can you see one of those guys, though? I mean, and I get why you'd want Urban Meyer, but do you think Urban Meyer wants to deal with Jerry Jones and would trust that Jerry Jones would give him the space that he wants?
No. I think here's the one thing. I think it's the Cowboys. I think it's one of those, you know, flagship franchises of the National Football League. When you think about the NFL, you think about the Dallas Cowboys. I think you're going to look at it and maybe you're one of these coaches going to say, he's going to give me everything I need to be successful.
I mean, he did basically for Parcells.
Right. And then once they started to get going good again,
right,
he started to interject, drove Parcells crazy, and Parcells had to get out of there.
Right. So it works for a little bit, maybe?
So it works for a little bit, right. But this is a scenario. Here's the one thing. I mean, Andrew, they're looking for a coach not to rebuild it. They're looking for a coach to put them over the top.
Right.
I mean, so it's a different scenario than when Parcells got there, because Parcells was there to take a team that was struggling, where Jerry Jones got humbled, and make us relevant again. They're a relevant team. I mean, they went to the playoffs. I mean, they're a relevant football team. So, I mean, you look at it and say, all right, well, now I need a coach that's going to put it over the top. You could make the argument that Urban Meyer is going to put it over the top, an unproven college coach, or a Lincoln Riley, an unproven NFL coach who was uber successful on the college level. I can understand that. I just don't know where he would go in terms of an NFL guy.
Yeah.
Is it going to be a guy on that staff?
No.
I mean, you're going to go Chris Richard?
No, it's not. It can't be a guy on that staff. It's got to be everybody's out. You got to, except for the Joneses, you have to start from scratch. Everyone's got to go. Because unless we're all wrong about the talent on that roster, they're not far off from being a team that could have a top two seed and have a first round bye. At least from between Dak and Elliott, then you mix in Cooper and Gallup. And some of those young guys on defense, you add through the draft, you add through free agency, I don't think they're far off from double-digit wins.
I don't, and that's the disappointing thing, though, Andrew, because you look at their roster, they're talented.
Right.
They got talent on every level. They got talent on the linebacker, defensive line, in that secondary, at the receiver position, running back, quarterback, offensive line. How is this Cowboy team 7 no. and 8?
And in this particular year, with the Eagles having all their issues and the Giants and Skins being trash, they should be the Saints. They should have clinched this division in November.
Yes!
They should be sitting pretty right now. Their conversation should be, are we going to play Dak? How many carries does Zeke get this Sunday? Because they're locked into the 3 seed and can't go anywhere else. But instead, they now don't even control their own destiny anymore.
No, they don't. And that's the amazing thing, and that's the biggest disappointment. And that's why I think you look at that Cowboy team, and there's other disappointments, right? The Cleveland Browns have been a massive disaster this year. But I think the Dallas Cowboys are the biggest disappointment in the NFL this year. Even if they should back in for the fact that they have to win and need help to get themselves into the postseason.
Yeah, I think they have to be, just because the Browns, at least from where I sat when we got into the summer and the new season, I thought the Browns' expectations were too high. I think people thought they were too good. So If you thought they were going to win 12 games, now they're 6-8, or what are they now, 6-9? I think that was kind of your fault for pushing them too far forward. The Cowboys should have won this division by now, should be in the playoffs easily, should be thinking about protecting themselves through Week 17, and the way things stand right now, probably aren't going to make the playoffs.
Agreed. Malusis and Bogish with you here on this Monday morning, this Christmas Eve, as we get you going here, a little NFL. And I'll tell you, Andrew, listen, if I were you, I'd stay away from me. If McCarthy's doing updates this morning, Bilotti, everyone like that, because I got the flu going through my house.
Oh, great. I'm so glad you're here.
I do not have the flu. So you want to hear here's the quick side story. So my wife and her sister and her mom, every year they make Christmas cookies, right?
Okay.
So this year was our house that they were all going to come over last Sunday. This was 2 Sundays ago.
Okay.
They came over and made Christmas cookies. They put together trays for gifts and everything like that. So it's great. They make, I would say, at least like 200, 250 cookies, all different varieties, chocolate chip, this and that. So it's great.
And flu.
Right, correct. So the issue I have, though, my wife's sister, Laura, she's got 2 daughters, right? She's pregnant, could have her 3rd in April, I believe it is. Her youngest daughter, Sammy, came over, and they decided, they asked my wife, Don, and she's like, well, Sammy's got a little bit of a little fever. And my wife was like, listen, I don't want our sons to get sick. Why don't you just keep Sammy, and her husband's name is Pete, why don't they stay home? They decided to bring her.
Oof.
Now, they didn't know at the time that it was the flu.
Right.
The next day, her fever was at like 103. They bring her to the doctor. She has the flu. Right? 2 days later, my son has got the flu. Jackson.
Okay.
103-degree fever.
Jeez.
He's been out of it basically since Wednesday. Right? Then yesterday, my son Paul spiked a fever at 102.5. So we are dealing now with a scenario here where it's the holidays. My wife is ticked off at her sister.
Yeah.
Because she brought her sick daughter to make the Christmas cookies, right? My son, meanwhile, didn't realize he had the flu, right? We didn't know he had the flu. He got other kids in his first grade sick.
Mm.
So now they're sick. And it all started because my wife's sister decided to bring her sick youngest daughter to go make Christmas cookies to our
Sammy's
house.
Sammy's fault.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And everyone is sick.
I think we need to quarantine you. Can we stick you somewhere else in another room somewhere?
Right, just put a plastic bag around me. And
I feel like outbreak.
How can I get far away from Moose? How's
well,
that
that's
possible?
Exactly right. I'm like, just stay away. I don't have anything. I got the flu shot, CVS,
yeah,
every
me
October.
Too.
I head right over to CVS and I get my
here.
Flu shot. Oh, you got it here.
I got a flu shot and a lollipop from our lobby.
Oh, very nice.
I think it was
Look
a sanctioned
you.
Event. Yeah.
Look at you. I am not sick. I am A-OK.
Yet.
I do not. No, I'm
no,
not
no.
going
to. Moose can't get sick. Listen, McCarthy, you know this. He works nonstop in different states, different times of day.
That's always a good way to fight off the flu, by the way.
Yeah, just exhaust yourself.
Right. Well, the fact is, you should always be sick the way you work yourself into the ground, and you're not, which means you have some kind of crazy immune system.
That is true. You're right about that. That's a good point.
Yeah.
You're right. I should be basically, I should have about 103-degree fever.
Yeah.
Right? Laying like on my bed, immobile.
Right.
For like the next 2.5 days.
Some kind of iron lung.
That's
but no,
exactly
you're
right.
Fine,
no,
you're
I'm A-OK.
You're an actual moose.
But I am scared to death about that flu. There is nothing worse.
No, we've, and everyone, it's been everywhere. Stomach bug, flu, whatever. And we've somehow, for the moment, Moose sidestepped it.
I don't want to text on Christmas Day. Basically, for a text from Bogus with the emoji of a middle finger. I'll know what happened. I'll be like, Merry Christmas.
And you're sitting pretty right now in my house because everybody knows that you were the one that gave me the heads up on Jedi training at Hollywood Studios.
There you go.
Don't ruin your good spot in the Bogus household right now by passing the flu to all of
there
us.
There you go. You're right about that. I won't come close to you. That's all.
No hugs today.
No hugs. No hugs, no high fives, no fist pound, nothing like that. All right, Malus is a Bogus with you. It's a Monday morning. McCarthy's got your updates throughout the course of the morning as we take you right up until 9. A little Cowboys gets us going. We'll get into the Browns, all the action from Week 16 in the NFL right here on CBS Sports Radio. Malusis and Bogus with you right here on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. We got Pete McCarthy is with us this morning. He's got your updates throughout the course of the morning. What's going on, Pete? How you doing, brother?
I'm great. I'm healthy. You know, that's good.
Yes.
You know, I'm thinking, you know, Jason Garrett, he's kind of like swatted away issues of job security, like you fight the flu. But I think he may have
good
run
transition.
Out of, yeah, he may have run out of immunity last night. An awful 17-9 loss in Philadelphia, and Garrett reacted.
We all have to own it. I have to own it. The coaching staff has to own it. All the players and staff members have to own it and give the Eagles credit. And now we have to go forward. Unfortunately, we don't control our destiny anymore, but we do control our opportunity next week against Washington.
They still have a chance. They have to win. They would need an Eagles loss to the Giants as they get the Redskins this upcoming week. And everyone curious what owner Jerry Jones would say.
Very disappointed. We all expected to leave here as the NFC's champs. We're not.
Yeah, not only that, the Cowboys' plane was then unfit to fly, so the team had to wait an extra 3 to 4 hours to escape Philadelphia.
That's amazing. Oh. Well, I mean, that adds insult to injury, if you think about it. I mean, you lose the game, it's the disappointment, then you're like, all right, let's just get on the flight and get back home, and you can't even get home, and you're stuck in Philadelphia for an extra 3 to 4 hours. That's crazy.
Did they all get on one plane? I know yesterday the first thought was they might have to take a smaller plane and leave some guys behind.
Yeah, it wouldn't be players. I think it was staff that might be left behind. I didn't see exactly that everybody made it back, but they did make it back to Dallas. Eventually.
Right.
But
the assistant might still be in Philly right now.
That might be the case. And then it was kind of odd for Philly after the game as well. A fan snuck into Doug Peterson's presser and interrupted a reporter to sneak in a question.
Doug, what can you say about your defense?
Who is this?
You gotta go.
Is he credentialed? Timeout.
A 20 or a full?
Yeah, I want a full.
Full timeout. Eli next week. What do you think, Coach?
There you go.
Is that the question you're going to ask if you sneak into the presser?
No, that's not the question I'm asking.
You got one shot.
That is not the question. I'm not right. Eli next week. No, that's not the one I'm asking, Doug. No, I agree with you.
Rough day, too, for the Seahawks. Upset by the Cardinals in their home field, 27-13. Not only that, running backs Chris Carson and C.J. Procy suffered what are believed to be season-ending injuries. Still, they can win the NFC West by topping the 49ers this week. Now that's the Sunday night football matchup. Head coach Pete Carroll.
We're fortunate that we have a chance to play for a division this late in the year. And what's important for us is to turn and be disciplined about this so that we can turn our focus to that week and not be affected by what just happened.
And that was a stunner. The Cardinals and number one pick Kyler Murray, who did leave with a hamstring injury, able to upset Seattle. You had another record-setting game for a Saint.
And not just that, but you're right about that. It was a stunt. A lot of people I knew liked Arizona, plus the points to keep that game close, but I didn't think they thought they'd win that game outright and win in the style and fashion, which they didn't. How about the Seattle Seahawks now? Look at the running back position. Mm. They're going out to go with their four-string running back yesterday. Their starter, Carson, suffers a hip injury. He's done for the year. Their backup, C.J. Procy, a former Golden Domer at Notre Dame, broke his forearm or his arm, same thing, but breaks his arm, and he's done for the year as well.
And Penny's already gone.
And Penny's already gone with the torn ACL, so they've got to find themselves another running back before their big game against the Niners next Sunday.
Now, it's a mess for them, and you think about what's on the line. They could still win the division, have a home game in the playoffs, but they could also end up being the 5 seed in the NFC playoffs.
But the oddity is that almost is probably better for them because they're strangely average at home this year. And they're 7-1 on the road.
Right, but historically speaking, they're at home during the playoffs. They're significantly better than what they are on the road in the playoffs.
Can they win in Philly?
Yeah, they could win in Philly. Yeah, I think they could win
with me as running back?
Yes, and with you as running back. Right.
Shep, what are you doing? Right. Yes. A third career change? Yes. Be the running back for the Seahawks?
Sure.
Okay. Where's Shep? He's lining up this week.
It's like Ezekiel Elliott lit it up yesterday anyway, running on Philadelphia. As for the Saints, a week after Drew Brees began the NFL's all-time passing touchdown leader, receiver Michael Thomas recorded the most catches in a season with 145, breaking Marvin Harrison's record. Thomas still has a game to play as well as the Saints beat the Titans 38-28. The Ravens, they continued rolling, now 13-2 after downing the Browns 31-15. Baltimore will own home field advantage in the AFC throughout the playoffs. Then the Steelers, they no longer control their playoff destiny after losing to the Jets 16-10. Duck Hodges was benched after throwing a second interception, but re-entered when Mason Rudolph was hurt. Mike Tomlin wasn't pinning this all on his offense.
I said we didn't do enough, and I meant what I said in all three phases. You know, we let them go down the field and score a touchdown on the first possession of the game. That's not our style of play either. So, you know, pick whatever soft spot you want. It's us. We own it. We're not looking to assign blame.
So Steelers now need a win over the Ravens and a Titans loss to grab the final AFC playoff spot. On Sunday Night Football, the Chiefs wiped the floor with the Bears 26-3. The Bengals clinched the top pick in the draft, falling in overtime to the Dolphins 38-35. That was a wild game.
That was.
The Chase Young Bowl, that went to the Giants, 41-35 winners in overtime in Washington. You happy with that, Moose?
Yeah. Better players mean better team, right? You hope?
Yeah, you got to hope so for Washington. And they'd be crushing Daniel Jones for years, perhaps. Elsewhere, Broncos topped the Lions. Chargers fell in the finale. And Carson, California to the Raiders. Falcons beat the Jags and the Colts crushed the Panthers. Baseball, the Blue Jays agree with former Dodgers pitcher Hyunjin Ryu on a 4-year, $80 million contract. NBA, LeBron James missed his first game of the year. Lakers lost a third straight, 128-104 to the Nuggets. The Raptors fought back from 30 points down. They stunned the Mavericks, 110-107. And the Wizards' Isaiah Thomas was suspended 2 games for going into the stands to confront a fan on Saturday night in Philadelphia. The fans were banned from Wells Fargo Center for 12 months.
All right. Thank you, Pete. Good job. Well done. We were talking a little bit about certainly the NFL, what transpired yesterday. And, you know, Pete, was one of the games that he mentioned was that Steelers-Jets game. And the Steelers quarterback play yesterday between Hodges and Rudolph, I mean, was just downright dreadful. I mean, the Jets win the game 16-10. But if you're Pittsburgh and you're Mike Tomlin, as good of a job as he's done this year, and I'm not putting yesterday's loss on him at all in any way, shape, or form there, Andrew, but their play at quarterback was so bad. Hodges is not an NFL quarterback, and Mason Rudolph's not an NFL quarterback either. And Rudolph left that game due to injury. He did make one nice throw at the end of the first half that tied the game up at 10 after the first 30 minutes. Jets have got nothing to play for. You know, Hines Ward gets that Gatorade bat that he asked for before the game. A little bit of revenge for Le'Veon Bell, who got enough touches there in Adam Gase's offense. But that was a putrid performance offensively by the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I'm going to say one or two sentences here, Moose. It's not made to bring any kind of huge conversation again. You don't even need to respond to it. It's just a thought I had during that game yesterday, watching both of those guys not play quarterback well. Through all of this now, what is it, 3 or 4 years, if I was to make a list of teams that would have went down the Colin Kaepernick road, I would have thought it would have been the Steelers because of Mike Tomlin caring about nothing else except winning football games. He might have gotten overruled by the front office, but if there was a head coach who I thought would have gone to bat for Kaepernick, it would have been Tomlin. I'm not making any value judgment on the decision. Otherwise, just the thought I had yesterday watching, you know, this team shouldn't be where they are now because of all the issues they've had, but they've somehow got themselves to yesterday's game going into that one with a real solid chance of making the postseason and then finally kind of overcome by what they don't have. And then they took a bunch of injuries yesterday. Connor gets hurt, Pouncey gets hurt, And I mean, they got nothing left for that game, and no one there to rescue them on offense.
No, and listen, I anytime you go down that road, you open up a can of worms. Here, I don't disagree. I don't disagree in any way, shape, or form. I watched that game, and you know, there's a number of different reasons why Kaepernick's not in the NFL. We get that, we understand it, but when you look at talent wise, does he deserve that opportunity? Absolutely.
And is he better than Devlin Hodges?
There's
yes.
No doubt.
That's the only, and that's
is he
it.
Better
and
that, than Mason Rudolph? Yes.
Right. And there's no need to go any further than that. And it's just
you're watching that game yesterday though, and all you needed was some semblance and tangible quarterback play.
Right.
You didn't even have to be. They were just so bad.
Yeah, and
they were so bad offensively, and their quarterback play was so bad that they could not find a way to win that game.
And I hate, like, you know, like raining on the parade of the little guy, the no-name guy, the Cinderella story. But more often than not, you know, the guys that come from Samford and don't get drafted, there's a reason why they went to Samford and didn't get drafted. I know that he walked in, he's got a cool nickname, and he made a couple of good throws early on. But of course Devlin Hodges isn't good enough right now, and maybe that changes down the road, but right now,
I don't think it does.
Probably not. But there's a reason why he was where he has been throughout his football life, and why he couldn't get the job done yesterday. It's why I have my reservations about Gardner Minshew with the Jaguars and other nice stories. Like, even guys that have had some success, whether it's Ryan Fitzpatrick or Josh McCown, like, they bounce around for a reason because they're not elite, which is why the goal always is to have that kind of guy. And the Steelers do in Roethlisberger, and they can't, you know, obviously when he gets hurt, all bets are off. But, you know, the Bengals sitting there at number one, the Bengals have to take Joe Burrow. I heard Deion Sanders this morning over on NFL Network say he would take Chase Young. And then I think Amy had a caller who said the same thing, or maybe even a guest on the show before us. Nonsense. You have to take Joe Burrow.
No, you got to take, if you believe he's the franchise right. quarterback, you take the quarterback.
So you're not living in a world where you have to find some washed-up journeyman veteran or hope that your undrafted backup quarterback comes to the rescue.
I don't disagree. Unless you don't believe Joe Burrow's the guy, but if you believe Joe right. Burrow's a franchise quarterback, then that's who you're drafting number one overall.
If you like Justin Herbert better or anybody else, that has to be the pick.
The most important position right. in the National Football League. And Chase Young is an opportunity to be a great edge rusher in the NFL. But there are some that are critical of Chase Young at Ohio State as well. You know, he's not great with his hand movement. It's basically one move. He overpowers offensive tackles. He's not going to be able to do everything that he does at Ohio State in the National Football League, that he's going to have to adjust, which is fine. Now, you're looking at a potential there of him in a game-changing defensive end. However, the quarterback's the most important position. If you're the Cincinnati Bengals having the number one overall pick, if you look at Burrow, the Heisman Trophy winner, and say, he's our guy, he's going to be that good in the National Football League, then that's your selection.
Yeah. And then you hope he stays healthy, so you're not changing back to Ryan Finley.
Yes.
At some point down the road to come in and relieve him.
Doing More brought to you by the Home Depot with everything you need to do projects smarter, faster, and easier. Welcome to today's Home Depot. How does get more done? Let's take a look at a player who's doing more for his team. How about Jason Tatum? Go for a career-high 39 points, grabbing 12 boards, scored 22 of those points in the fourth quarter. He outscored the Hornets by himself 22-16 in the final quarter. Don't look now, but it's the Celtics who have the second-best record in the Eastern Conference. So certainly Jason Tatum is doing more. Mark Melusis, Andrew Bogish with you here on this Monday morning as we take it right up until 9 right here, CBS Sports Radio. All right, Melusis and Bogish with you here on this Monday morning on CBS Sports Radio as we roll right up until 9 a.m. Eastern time. We're going to talk a little college football coming your way later on. At the end of hour number two, Dan Wolkin's going to join us. College football covers it for USA Today. It is bowl season. Honestly, it snuck up on me. I got to be honest with you, Andrew. I was not ready for the Bahamas Bowl on Friday afternoon. I was not ready for the five bowls on Saturday. I'm excited that it's here, but maybe it's just a case of getting, you know, a little bit older, having young kids or whatever. But all of a sudden it's here and you're Washington's playing Boise State. You got all these great games that are going on and great matchups. And you know, I used to be more like it with more anticipation in the years gone by. Now it's all of a sudden it just explodes. I'm like, oh my God, it's already here. I feel like the college football season, you know, just ended and all of a sudden we're into the bowl season.
So what you're saying is you are not pumped for the Gasparilla Bowl this afternoon?
No,
no,
I mean, listen, I'll flip it on, and my oldest son Jackson. I mean, he'll watch anybody play football right now. Like he wants to watch college, he wants to watch NFL. His favorite team is the Eagles, so he was fired up yesterday with the Eagles' victory.
What is wrong with you, Maluses?
Yes, I know. Well,
Eagles, Washington, Giants.
Well, here's the one. So he played flag football this year.
Okay,
and his team was the Eagles.
Okay, all right, that's fair. So, I live in that world.
So his team was the Eagles. So now he's an Eagles fan, and one of his friends at school is an Eagles fan. So it's kind of like they bonded over the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, we were the Angels and the Rockies last spring. So I got a lot of, well, Dad, what happens if the Mets play the Angels? Who do we root for then? I'm like, well, Jake, you're not an actual Angel yet. I know your team. And like my little league that theirs is cool. Like they give them... they look like jerseys. Like it's got the real Angels
nice.
Logo on it.
Yeah,
like when
great.
I was growing up, it said like Manhattan Trust. That was the bank sponsor. And on the back, it said Yankees in our number. But like they have like an actual Angels hat. So like they look pseudo official. So he thought he was like part of the Angels organization. And then therefore, we need to support the Angels, even if they were playing our beloved Mets. But I told him that nobody trumps the Mets.
So you want to hear a funny story on that. So when I was growing up in Pearl River, New York, we played in a Little League. And I love the Pearl River Little League, right? So I was on the worst T-ball team ever, Volunteers, right?
Okay.
We were baby blue uniforms. This was it was T-ball, but if you hit enough off the tee, then you face
pitch. Yeah.
Right, correct, right? And that's the league in which I got knocked out cold because I got drilled in the chin by Mike Strahl at the time, right? Drilled me right in the chin. The next thing I noticed, I was on the bench with an ice pack on my jaw, right? So I played in T-ball, right, and I played for the Volunteers. Then in the International League, and that's the league before you get to the majors,
right.
I played for the Lions, and the Lions were orange jersey. We were the best team in the league, and I was one of the better players in the league. I got called up. As a 12-year-old, I got called up.
Wow.
Early. The team I got called up for, which was the worst team in the majors, the Mets.
Nice. All the fake names, we're going to use the Mets for.
Right, the Mets. In the majors, you had the Mets, you had the Reds, you had the Giants, the Yankees, and everything like that. In the majors, you know, it was the real fence. It was a nice field, right? You used to play at Anderson Fields, and they were all beautiful fields. It was a huge complex, softball fields, baseball fields, Little League, T-ball, and everything like that. And they were great fields. They had great hot dogs and everything like that. But the thing was, is that I played for the Mets, and the Mets were the worst team in the majors, but I got called up early because I was one of the better teams in the International.
Because they were terrible.
Yes.
And they needed help.
And they needed help.
Give us your kids.
Yes, give us your kids. That's exactly right. But I never became a Met fan. I was still a Yankee fan growing up.
Yeah, so next year we'll be on whatever team, and that'll change our allegiances. But there's a lot of those questions, like, who do we root for in this game? Who are we rooting for now? What if the Mets play them? Or what if the Rangers? Can I like the Islanders? Because I live in Long Island. There's a lot of Islander fans. So my kids kind of want to like the Islanders. And I'm like, it's not allowed.
Well, but it's tough. Well, but that's where you and I disagree. Like, in terms of, I am not, whatever my kids want to root for, you know, even if they're not sports fans, it doesn't matter. I do it for a living. I love what I do for a living. But if my son was like, I'm not into sports, that's fine, right? I'm not going to be like, no, you need to watch baseball with me.
Right.
No, you need to sit there and watch football. But I do know people that are of our age that have got young kids and say, no, they will root for the teams that I root for.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, like Evan Roberts, who we both know.
Yes.
Right? His sons are going to be, as he said, they're going to be Jets. Him and his wife have already bought his son Jet, Nets attire, Jets attire, Mets attire. That's who his son will root for. Now, if Jackson wants to be an Eagle fan, that's fine. I'm not going to hold it. If he wants to become a Detroit Red Wing fan in hockey, then, you know, it's not going to bother me. I'll buy him some Red Wing gear, you know, if I, you know, buy him some stuff to enjoy being a Red Wing fan. He does not necessarily have to root for the teams that I root for.
No, and neither do my kids. And the only reason why
so if your son's an Islander fan, you're not going to be. It's not going to be that big of a deal.
It's not at all. Okay. I mean, and the thing is, now he's six. My daughter is, you know, about to be nine. Neither one of them really cares. Like, they just think it's funny to, like, boo or cheer. Or, like,
yeah.
You know, my mother-in-law is a Giants fan, and she, like, straight hates the Eagles. So, like, they think it's funny, you know, like, to tease her about the Eagles or, like, to tease me about the Yankees because my brother-in-law likes the Yankees, so my son will come home and be like, the Yankees are, like, so it's just a joke. It's not, there's
well, that's
no,
fun.
Right, there's no actual connection. Like, they don't watch games. They don't care. Like, they couldn't name a Met. Or a
so
Ranger.
It's nothing like they're emotionally involved. No. They just like the bus chops.
They just like the bus chops. They think, you know, they think that they're a Mets fan, but they're not following, you know, they're not relieved that the Mets saved money on Yoenis Cespedes' contract or
right.
Why didn't we sign Gerrit
Cole? But let me
Cole?
Ask you, is there any team that either of your kids could become a fan of that it would deep down, you know, you'd never tell them, but deep down it would bother you?
Yeah, I'd have an issue if they were actual Yankee fans.
Would you really?
Not to the issue like where I wouldn't disown them.
No, I know that, but it would deep down, but it would bother you.
I would have done something wrong
if
one
Yankee
of my
fans.
Kids ends up a Yankee fan, yeah.
Would you take them to Yankee Stadium or her to Yankee Stadium?
Of course. Yes, of course, 100%.
Would you cheer with them?
No.
You would not.
No, I can't.
Would you cheer against the Yankees at Yankee Stadium as your child is cheering for the Yankees?
No. I wouldn't want to get stabbed. First of all, second of all, I would be respectful and calm. But I would take them there. But I would have failed as a dad if one of them likes the Yankees.
So 1991, we have to go back a ways, right? Speaking of my family, my dad's, we grew up, I was a Ranger fan. My dad's a Ranger fan. My dad's a Yankee fan. My dad's a Knick fan, right? We disagreed on Giants and Redskins. So 91 was the Super Bowl, the last Super Bowl the Redskins were in. And they were taking on the Buffalo Bills the year before, right? The Bills lost to the Giants, Norwood, wide right, and everything like that from 47 yards out. Down in Tampa, Whitney Houston singing the national anthem and the like. So I remember clear as day, the morning of Super Bowl Sunday, you know, having breakfast, you know, my dad making, bacon and eggs or whatever, and getting all fired up for the Super Bowl. And I asked my dad, I go, Dad, who do you think is going to win the game today? My dad goes, the Bills. I go, what? And my dad and myself got into an argument at the breakfast table over the Super Bowl because he thought the Bills were going to beat by Redskins. I'm like, why can't you just say the Redskins? I'm a Redskin fan. He's like, because I think the Bills are going to win. And so we got it. I remember clear as day the discussion, the argument.
And
that
you
we
were
got
how
in.
Old again?
At that time, I was 15 years old.
Okay.
I was 15 years old. Yeah, it was 28 years ago. 43, yeah.
See, that's what...
I was 15 years old, but I was so emotionally invested because I feared that was going to be the year the Bills win, and the Redskins up winning the game,
right?
And Rippon's the MVP, and they have a great game. But I remember clear as day getting into the argument with my dad at the time about him picking the Bills in that Super Bowl and not the Redskins.
Yeah, see, if you were like eight, I would definitely be on your side here. Like, he can't crush Little Moose's dream. At 15, I think if he was doing it in just a valid sports argument, I think that's okay.
Yeah, it wasn't a nasty argument.
It wasn't a spiteful move.
Right.
Okay.
It was not a spiteful move.
All right.
It was just basically like your kids like to bust your mother-in-law's chops.
Yeah.
It's like that.
Okay. So he had some substance to his argument.
Yes.
He could back up his point.
Well, that's
he just
exactly
dropping
right.
an elbow. And no, the Redskins are suck.
I hope your
out.
Kids become Yankee fans.
Thank you for that move.
I'd love to see that in 10
Let's
years.
Let's just hope they don't get the flu. Let's start there.
Daddy, can you get me a Gerrit Cole? Can we go to... they're retiring Gerrit Cole's number 45 at Yankee Stadium. You want to go to the game in the Bronx?
How come the Mets don't have a Gleyber Torres? How'd the Yankees end up with Gleyber Torres and Aroldis Chapman? Let me sit down.
Right.
Let me tell
Why
you.
Why does it always seem to work out for the Yankees? Why does that always seem to be the
Daddy,
case?
Daddy, didn't Gerrit Cole say he only wanted to be on the West Coast?
Yeah, we'll come back. We'll get into a little bit more NFL. as music indiscriminately played earlier about a minute ago.
We got a lot of issues.
We got a lot of things. We got a lot of things going on. Bilotti, this might be the it's Christmas week. This might be the worst week for Pilotti, correct?
Oh, yes. I should be off right now.
Mark Melusis, Andrew Bogish, you know where you're locked in. It's a Monday morning, CBS Sports Radio.